From Land Grant Brewing Company, Columbus, Ohio.
Right in front, dude.
Just make sure to get a bunch of spittle, like all over the mic.
Yeah, I'm good at that.
Oh, that's good.
Did you like that? Were you recording that one?
Yeah.
Land Grant Brewing presents Land Grant University Beers with the Brewers.
All right.
Cool. Welcome to Beers with the Brewers. It's January 2nd. Happy New Year.
Hey, Mark. Happy New Year to you.
It's Throwback Thursday.
It is,
though.
Ooh. Is that the sound effect for Throwback Thursday?
For Throwback Thursday.
Yeah.
We got two.
Wayback Machine.
Jeppy hasn't been on. Justin hasn't been on here for quite a while, and I know I've been off probably all, the whole month of December, so it's good to be back on the podcast.
If you're listening to this on January 2nd, I haven't been on since last year.
It's a very valid point. None of us have.
It's been a while, as my favorite band, Stained, says.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
It's been a while.
It's been a while.
There you go.
Cool.
Well, no big events coming up, I don't think, for a little bit here at the brewery. So this week we're talking about CMYK returning here in 2020. Beer that we all love and excited to have it back.
The original release date of the CMYK podcast that you were on, Justin, was May 10th, 2018.
Oh, wow.
That's almost 2 years ago.
It's hard to believe.
So you made a couple subtle changes, right? Hops are all the same?
Hops are all the same. So it's still going to be Australian Ella with a little bit of Citra and Mosaic. Mosaic is kind of the forward hop in this beer. We changed the malt. We no longer use Bohemian Pilsner. We just stuck with our standard Pils malt that we've been going with in a lot of our lagers and also some of our hoppier beers that we've been putting out. The biggest change, however, with this beer is the change from a use of varying yeasts to just one strain. I know the first time we brewed this, I think there were actually two or three yeast strains in it. We tried to do something weird by blending a couple of our house strains. We actually went with the Hornendal Kvike yeast strain, the Norwegian strain that we've also been using. When fermenting at a hotter temperature, it actually gives off a little bit of like a pineapple kind of tropically fruit thing to it. So CMYK might be a little more tropical than it was in the past. It's also hazier than it used to be.
Well, all the fans of hazy beers are going to like that.
Yeah, people like that.
We have established
like
on the podcast that it doesn't necessarily matter.
Well, you know, we're brewing hazies for the crazies. That's what we say here at Land Grant Brewing Company.
Oh, got
there
it.
You go. There it's you nice. Go. Did we have crushability back then in 2018?
Probably not, maybe.
Well,
how crushable is it?
So what ABV are we coming at?
I think it's around 8. I don't know off the top
maybe
of my head.
I guess we could check
8.5.
8.5, yeah. I'm gonna say a 2 crusher then.
I'll 2 crush too. I mean, only because the alcohol, though, it's pretty drinkable.
Yeah.
It is super, super drinkable. I think that Kvike dries it out enough that I know when we brewed it with a blend of yeast, it didn't ferment out completely, so it was a little bit sweeter. This is definitely more dry, more crushable. I'll give it a 2.5.
2.5, okay. That's good.
All okay. Right. Well, that's some math there, Mark.
Yeah.
What do you got there? So that's 6.25 divided by 3.
Like 0.16.
Oh, geez. 2. Yeah, 1. We got 2.08.
Yeah.
2.08.
Yeah.
All right. There it is. Round it down. Justin, you ready to put us in that Wayback Machine?
Yeah. Do you want me to fire it up for you?
Yeah.
Hold on. Give me a minute.
Happy New Year, everyone.
Happy New Year.
All right, welcome to this week's episode of Land Grant University Presents Beers with the Brewers. I'm Adam, one of the owners here at Land Grant. Joining me this week, we have Justin.
Saw, dude.
We got Dan.
Not Chris.
Not Chris. We got Mark.
I am also not Chris.
And
Walt.
Hey, y'all.
So, we are talking about the new Imperial IPA, CMYK.
This, we call it a resinous, it's tropical melon flavor, herbal, floral, and light-bodied. So suggested food pairings, a Jamaican jerk chicken taco or citrus carne asada chili.
Rife with alliteration there.
That's what I was going for. I'm putting my English degree to good use here.
That's
no vegetarian options this week.
Only meat today.
Cheese pizza?
Well, I mean, yeah, you could. I mean, it is canned beer, so you could have it in a. You could have it at home with a cheese pizza.
You could,
if like, you want. So,
I was always a proponent of buttered bread with a slice of like a Kraft single in between. That would probably pair pretty well with this as well.
Well,
yeah, for you vegetarians nice out there, I had one last night in a can with a cheese pizza.
Wow. Well, thanks, Mark, for that. So this is an episode about Imperial IPAs, which is our second or third. It's third one, I think, so far.
Third episode that we've done so far.
So
I
we
think
did.
On Imperial IPAs.
So not going to be much on history, but any new interesting tidbits?
New interesting tidbits
yeah,
on
that
Imperial
have come out on Imperial IPAs over the past,
over the
few
past 3 weeks.
3 weeks.
I'm trying to think. You guys were at the Craft Brewers Conference.
You were learning all the stuff in
while we were here brewing tasty beverages.
We may have had some IPAs last week.
One or two, probably.
May have had some double and Imperial IPA.
You guys,
shout out to the Bearded Iris down there in Nashville. We drank a lot of their beer, and it was delicious.
I'll have to say, on the IPA spectrum, Bearded Iris, give them thumbs up. Pretty solid spot.
Thumbs up is on a spectrum?
Yes.
Isn't that binary by definition?
Not anymore.
All right. So
we're mixing it up.
So we were down in Nashville last week, and one of the most interesting talks at the Craft Brewers Conference is the state of the industry that Dr. Bart Watson, the chief economist, and Paul Gatza, the director of the BA, talks about different trends going on in our industry. And one of the things they pointed out that we've talked about a lot is that IPA is still on top. And isn't going anywhere, that 75% of all growth in craft last year was in the IPA, double IPA, session IPA, fruited IPA, or American Pale Ale category. So definitely where it is at. The other interesting fact from that was the other 25%, the leading styles were blonde ale, cream ale, Kolsch Pilsner, and wheat ale. So as IPA is still leading, the styles that are much lighter and have a lot more drinking occasions are on their way up. There's our tidbit of the day.
There you go.
Which works well for us because we like both of those. So
let's get into the nitty gritty of CMYK. So just listing off some of the stats for this beer. It is 8.5% alcohol. We're looking at about 75 IBUs. It definitely doesn't taste that bitter, though. Drinks pretty smooth. The hops that we used in it, the bittering hop was Warrior to give it like a little bit of a fruity backbone. And then we use Citra, Simcoe, a hop we have never used before, which is the Australian hop Ella. And then the predominant hop in this beer is going to be Mosaic. As far as the malts go, we tried to keep it pretty simple. We just used Bohemian Pilsner, Vienna malt, and dextrose.
So, Justin, why are we excited about this beer?
I was excited to brew this beer because how it was presented to us, we were asked to brew like a fruitier centric Imperial IPA, kind of along the lines of what Sundrip was. But we really wanted to emphasize Mosaic, which is a hop that we don't use a lot of around here. And I really enjoy that hop, but just because it's got such a wide variety of flavor and aroma that you get out of it, depending on what you pair it with.
So dank.
It can be dank. It can be very tropical. And I think both of those really come out in this beer. So yeah, that was really why I was most excited, being able to showcase that hop.
And I really wanted to use Ella.
Yeah. Well, we were scouring the interwebs looking for Australian or New Zealand hops. Predominantly, we were looking for Galaxy, which is pretty much impossible to find under $30 a pound at this point, which is incredibly expensive for a hop. But we ended up finding Ella at a great rate, and it's a really interesting hop.
It has some of those elements of Galaxy, but yeah. It also has some noble characteristics as well.
And I think that's one of the, we'll talk about it a little bit more, like, or we can talk about it right now, just in the tasting notes for CMYK. it kind of runs the gambit of IPA flavor, where you're getting a lot of those like tropical, citrusy, dank flavors and aromas, but they're all paired with almost a like a German noble hop character, which doesn't sound like something that would work really well in an Imperial IPA, but that Ella kind of brings it out. It also, like, I found that Mosaic can sometimes have that kind of herbal tinge at the back end, and I think that Ella kind of emphasizes that.
I think it also keeps it from getting too sweet, because it's right. Not, you know, it's, it doesn't have malt sweetness, obviously, because it's finished fairly dry, but it's it has hop sweetness, because all of those characteristics you talk about, they, you know, hit your tongue and it says sweet.
Yep.
But this has, I know it says 75 IBUs, but I think compared to something like Batch 300, it's a little bit more reserved in terms of the bitterness.
Yeah.
So I like that little herbal tinge. I think it keeps it from going over the edge.
And I have, there are a lot of people that have described it as garlicky recently, which there is a tiny bit of that in there. I'm assuming it's from our Citra that we're getting that. It's not as predominant as I have heard, I guess. I don't know.
No, I'm not. I'm pretty susceptible to that. I know particularly a few years ago when Amarillo was not being left on the vine long enough.
Incredibly catty.
I mean, there was like some gym sock type stuff going on. There's certainly none of that here. This is incredibly smooth for a double.
I think it's real smooth. The hop flavor and aroma is definitely, like I said, all over the board. You can't pinpoint it. You can't be like, oh, this is a grapefruit IPA or this is a piney IPA. There's a lot going on in it. I don't know. I really, really enjoy it.
Yeah, I think that smoothness really leads to double IPAs when they are this smooth. You forget they're 8.5%. So on that crushability scale, what would you guys put it at?
I'd put it could be a 3, but better be a 2, unless you want to get in an argument when you get home.
Right. Yeah, I would agree with that. I was going to say 4, but that's way too much. So, yeah, I'll say 2.
Yeah, it could sneak up on you, so really respect the alcohol content in this one.
Yeah, I had a couple over the weekend, so I pulled.
You had 4?
Yeah,
you had 2 couples over the weekend.
I'd go 2 for that reason. I think that's one of the ones that you have 2 of these at the tap room. You got to call it quits.
Yep.
And maybe call an Uber as well.
Yep.
It is the same thing with Batch 300, where you have 2 of them and you're like, oh, wow, this is drinking incredibly easy. And you crack that third can halfway through it. Like, that was a dumb idea.
Did not need another beer.
My cheeks are incredibly rosy right now.
And you also mentioned those complex flavors, which kind of leads to, I know we've talked about this on previous episodes. How do we come up with names? Do we have the beer first or the name and then the beer? This was definitely one that the beer was in the fermenter before the name was come up, but
yeah.
Walt came up with, I think, a really good name for what really this beer turned out to be.
And I tried my damnedest to make a name with the word umbrella, and it worked, because we were all excited about that Ella hop.
It was going to be our first Rihanna-themed Imperial IPA.
But yeah,
was that Rihanna right there?
Oh my gosh, she just walked through.
It sounded just like her.
But yeah, so.
Oh, bye, Rihanna.
She left, but that's okay. She'll be back, I'm sure.
She loves our beer.
Yeah, big fan, Rihanna. In here all the time in Columbus, Ohio. Tried to make the name work with umbrella, just couldn't find anything that really stuck or hadn't already been used, as is the craft brew nightmare right now, but every beer name's been used, apparently. But yeah, so I took it a totally different direction, and with my design background, being familiar with printing and colors and all that, I settled on CMYK, which, if you're not familiar with the term CMYK, it refers to the colors used in the process printing process, which would be cyan, magenta, yellow, and key. Key is otherwise known as black.
Oh, so that's where your name comes from.
Yes, that's why my last name is Keys. Yes.
Stage name.
Mm-hmm. But I thought there was a nice sort of relationship between, you know, taking those inks and printing to create every color under the rainbow, and, you know, taking a variety of hops and blending them together to create this beer that has this great you know, spectrum of flavor. It just really made a lot of sense. But to get a little bit technical, yeah, so CMYK is what you would use in print. So those four inks blend together to make any color. You can also use spot colors, which is where your Pantones come into play, which is a very specific color of ink. So similar to if you were going to paint a wall in your house, you're not going to blend four different inks to make the color you want. You buy the color you want and paint it. That would be Pantone spot colors. And then RGB would be your screen colors. So a screen uses the colors red, green, and blue to create all of the colors in the spectrum.
So keep an eye out for Pantone IPA coming out.
Well, Pantone's a registered trademark, so probably not.
Keep an eye out for RGB.
There you go.
Yeah, if you ever look really closely at a screen, RGB. You see the little pixelated green, blue, and red. And I said that in the wrong. So this beer is available around Columbus, Ohio, Central Ohio, in kegs and cans. One of the faster selling beers that we've had in a while. I think it lasted about a week and a half wholesale. It went for sale early last week, and we got notice that we are sold out at the brewery for outside accounts. We still have it here on tap. We still have in six packs to go, but check out your local retailer or establishment. Hopefully they have it because this beer is delicious. So kind of go into, I know you highlighted some of the tasting notes. Justin, you guys want to go into the more specifics?
More in-depth tasting notes? Yeah, I mean, basically the flavor profile, kind of how I said earlier, it's everything under the sun as far as IPAs go. I unfortunately can't pinpoint it to one, but it does have like almost every hop flavor in one beer, which is kind of awesome. I think the ones that come mostly to the forefront, you're going to get a lot of that almost like tropical melon right up front. You get a little bit of citrus with it, but it kind of fades off into like a very resinous, like herbal finish, which is absolutely delicious in my opinion. So it's a light hazy gold in color. It's got a pretty quickly dissipating fluffy white head to it. But yeah, it's a pretty light bodied beer. Medium carbonation. I think the best way to put it, it's as close as you can get to a patio drinking Imperial IPA as you can make, where you can have a couple of them, and you might regret it afterward, but while they're going down smooth.
Yeah, I think if anyone follows Mike Tonsmeyer, soon to open his own brewery in the D.C. mm-hmm. area, he refers to Simcoe, Mosaic, and Citra as cheater hops.
Yeah,
because it's like cheating, and that's basically this beer.
No, it is. It definitely is. So Batch 300 was Citra, Mosaic, and Matoika, right? So they are definitely hops that you can throw in with other complementary hops to make super tasty IPAs.
It is really cool that you can pick out the individual elements of each of those hops in this beer, but overall, they do contribute to something, you know, greater than their individuality.
Much like a printer.
Or something like that.
Oh, wow. Brought it all back.
Mm-hmm.
So, we talked about a taco and a chili earlier, but if you were here at Land Grant Brewing Company and we're looking something from Ray Ray's Hog Pit here on Thursdays through Sundays at the tap room. Coincidentally, as we were out building the fence, unfortunately, there were a couple folks that came down yesterday. Being Tuesday, and they were very disappointed that Ray Ray's was not open, as a lot of us are throughout the week. But come on down Thursday through Sunday. And what would you pick out from that selection?
Easy. Going with that. Going with the jerk chicken on this one.
It goes with the taco.
The taco that we selected this week was actually a jerk chicken taco. So yeah, no, jerk chicken. Just it's got that.
Leave the tortilla at home.
Yeah, you don't need that or that bun. Nah, you don't even need the bun. No,
don't need the bun.
Kick the bun to the curb.
Save the carbohydrates. You're drinking a beer with it, so just go straight for the meat.
Mm-hmm. Beer is bread. You're good to go.
Did I notice an uncomfortably long silence after you said the word jerk there? Who were you looking at exactly?
I was looking at you.
I thought you were.
The creepy eyes on the ceiling in the Kickstarter room. I just looked at him and just said, jerk, because they terrify me. Well, let's talk about shelf life.
All right.
Of hoppy
let's
beers.
Talk about shelf life.
Yeah.
Talk about shelf life.
Hey, we had a question this week, huh?
So, well, we do get a lot of questions about what is the shelf life of our beer, and how do we determine that? And that is generally our rule of thumb here. It's 90 days on canned product. So when you look at your cans, we try to get at least 4 out of the 6 in the six pack to have a date code on the bottom. So it's an inexact science. If you look at the bottom and one of them is kind of smudged together, check out another can. But that is the date that we can that product. So add 90 days to that and you're going to be in good territory. Not that the beer is going to make you sick or anything afterwards, but it's just not going to taste the way that we wanted it to taste.
Exactly.
And with super hoppy beers, it falls off really fast. I mean, yeah. you would think on a really hop-centric beer, you'd want to drink that within 30 days to get the full effect of what was intended when brewing. But just know that it tapers off a little bit as it's been packaged. And please enjoy our beers fresh and any hop-centric beer fresh.
If you guys come down to the Landgraet University Hops 101, you'll learn a little bit about the hops in general, but more specifically hop chemistry. And one of the things we'll slightly touch upon is the oxidization of hop oils and how they quickly dissipate when there is oxygen present. So if oxygen gets to your product, which it is something that is very difficult to get rid of completely, seeing how we breathe it, and it is everywhere.
Wow.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. No, it.
Hot take there.
It definitely has a negative effect on hoppy flavor and aroma.
So to that, let's say I'm at the grocery store and I'm picking up some beer, but I'm not going to drink it today. You know, I've always been told to buy it warm.
You should.
What's
put that,
the truth?
If you can find it in your grocery store cold, specifically hoppy beers, buy it cold. Get it home, put it in the fridge. That's going to slow down that that process that oxygen has on hop oils. So highly recommended to keep your beer cold.
Yeah,
always.
I think that old wives' tale comes from if your beer goes from extreme temperature swings. Yeah. But in most grocery stores are kept at 55 degrees or so. So they're relatively cold, but we crash it cold once it's done fermenting. It's transferred cold. It's packaged cold. It's stored cold. It's delivered cold.
Coors Light.
Hopefully it'll go straight to the cold box, and that beer's gonna slow down any sort of aging, and then it's gonna taste the best.
So what we're saying is, do not cellar an Imperial IPA. No. It is not a good idea.
I think the rate of a chemical reaction doubles for every 10 degrees Celsius. So figure out whatever that is in Fahrenheit. So, yeah, basically you are rapidly deteriorating your fresh product.
You're kind of making a barley wine, though, aren't you?
It's going to change. You're going to lose that direct aromas and everything. I mean, and like we said, it's not going to make you sick or anything. It's just not what the intended flavor profile of the beer was. Now, that doesn't go for the higher the beers that are higher maltier and especially higher in ABV. Those will age, and yep. You will get a lot. They may get better with age, too.
It normally emphasizes that caramelly kind of flavor that you want in a big, heavy beer.
And darker beers with a lot of roast malts, a lot of tannins in them, can also benefit from some aging.
Yep. So we see that with like the Deep Search and even sometimes in Beard Crumbs. But if you ever do have any questions about, you know, you have a beer from us that you thought you might want to age, feel free to shoot us an email and ask us, because we're continuously testing those beers. We're putting them in our boiler room to put the most extreme conditions that beer may face. We do keep at least two cases from every batch that sits out. You might see it through the window in the Kickstarter room. You can see the shelf of product that we do test. If you do have any questions, email us at cheers@landgrantbrewing.com or check us out on Facebook at facebook.com/landgrantbrewingco. And then also you could go to landgrantbrewing.com and submit a question from our contact page. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in to this episode this week of Landgraet University Presents Beers with the Brewers, talking about our Imperial IPA CMYK.
Next week, we'll be talking about Deep Search. Make sure you tip your bartenders. Happy 2020.